G3. The Model of Being and Its Universal Laws. Number 19B.
Well, there is another half hour. I'm many hours behind. So I just like to talk freely about these levels for another half hour to try to pinpoint the most important points so that tomorrow we can start with another main category of being. What I first want to bring out is to show or to pinpoint again that as you have now got the tonality of the four, you can see that actually all those four levels must always be taken into account. As long as we are on a human level, and we are on a human level, we can't say we are not on a human level when we have a body, when we have to have all the material things that are needed to live, so we better are frank to ourselves and honest to ourselves and say, actually, we are on a material human basis, and that basis has to be improved. But it has not to improve from a material basis, but naturally always has to improve from the highest sense of being that we entertain. So, we can take as one identity always and see that that one identity is always working on all the four levels of thought. If Mrs. Eddy refers, for instance, to Jesus, she will refer to Jesus in many ways. She will refer to Jesus, for instance, in a sense of the science itself, and will say, well, Jesus was the most scientific man that ever trod the globe. So, in this way, she depicts Jesus as the man of science itself, but here and there she says Jesus was the most natural divine scientist, so he was at the same time a natural divine scientist. Or she would speak about Jesus, that he demonstrated Christian science absolutely, and that's absolute Christian science, or that she would say he was the first Christian scientist, which is on the basis of Christian science, healing the disease and the sinner and waking up the dead. So can you see that we too must consider ourselves, even if it's only in a slight way, always from all the levels, so that we don't say, well, first I have to work out the level of Christian science, because first I have to work out my daily negative problems, and only if I can prove to myself that I can do that, then I will go higher to absolute Christian science, then I will undertake the job of demonstrating the preventive art of Christian science, and then only when I can do that, then perhaps I still have something in my lifetime to practice on the level of divine science, and yes, so after this little interruption, just to tell it for those who afterwards see the TV, the video cassette, we had a little interruption in the lights. So I go on, and we were on the descending way of demonstrating the levels of science. And when we come to the level of absolute Christian science, we begin to demonstrate positive values. It is always there where we really should be working mostly at the present time, namely where we demonstrate constantly within our consciousness how principle interprets itself as infinite ideas, how principle really is expressing itself in specific values of truth, in divine values, so that there is nothing within our consciousness that can come in and take hold within our consciousness in an erroneous way. But if it does, and it very often does, then we still have a method, and that method is the method of Christian Science, of the level of Christian Science, where we begin to see that we just have to handle the fact that truth is the reality and that the counterfeit of truth is unreal. We can in that way go through all the seven synonymous terms, the way that comes to you in inspiration, and can see, well, on the level of Christian Science, we can fill our consciousness with the facts of the divine mind and see the bigness of the divine mind. We can see the allness of the divine mind, that mind is the all power, the only cause, the only power, the only law, the only action that is ever going on, the only enlightenment, the only guiding and steering of our consciousness, that we are constantly under the intelligence and the information of the divine mind, and therefore it is absolutely impossible that the counterfeit of it, therefore the human mind, the erroneous mind, the mortal mind, can also have power, can also have action, can also be a creator and be lawful and have power and intelligence and wisdom, so that is impossible. So you go on to spirit and you begin to do the very same thing. You fill your thought with the whole consciousness of spirit and see how big spirit is, and that therefore the counterfeit of spirit can have no place in it. Now, I can't go through the seven synonymous terms, or we will be here at the end of next week. And I like to go home, you know. Yes. So, yeah, I give you the method, and you know the method from earlier classes. That is what happens on the level of Christian Science. So that we handle really our lives from the point of view of the various levels. Which also brings me to that point where we see, just as with Jesus, that's where we went off, so just as with Jesus, it applies to us, that we are at the same time always a scientist in the best sense of science itself, a divine scientist, an absolute Christian scientist, and a Christian scientist, always at the same time, so that we make no differentiation in these levels. Especially as we begin to see, now I go up the ladder, up the levels, especially when we see that, for instance, with our treatment on the level of Christian Science, we seem not to be able to succeed, that in spite that we fill our consciousness with the seven synonymous terms and see that these are the answer for its counterfeits and therefore should annihilate and dissolve the counterfeits. If we are not successful in it, we may perhaps think, well, perhaps my consciousness is not high enough, so that I go to absolute Christian Science and fill my consciousness also with that which is on the level of absolute Christian Science, which is quite different. There where I see that from everlasting to everlasting, only the laws of life, truth and love are acting. That they are absolutely not interested in the problem as such, because they are so full of its own ideas that they only manifest themselves as infinite ideas of good and of truth and of spiritual values. Even then, I may go further and can say, why should I only see that those synonymous terms are only bringing out their own ideas? Why not see on the level of divine science that there is only one universe at all in existence? And you come to the oneness of being, where we feel that there is only one being at work, there is only one life at work, there is only one truth at work, the truth of all the truths, therefore it will cover all error, that there is only one love at work, therefore it is the answer to all that wants to annihilate the oneness of being, the one universe. And so I see that there is only one principle, love at work on divine science, which really gets rid of the belief that there can be something at work that is working against evolution, that is working towards entropy. And so I have a wider sense. And finally, perhaps I still have to ground myself and to find my authority in science itself, where I say to myself, what do I query and what do I, trouble myself about error at all if there is only one I am that I am? And I fill my thought with the level of science itself, where I see there is never anything going on in all the world from eternity to eternity, but one thing, that God knows himself, and that's all. And if God knows himself, there is no worry. We don't have to worry about anything. And I fill my thought with the highest concept of science itself, where principle is aware only of its own mind, of its own spirit, of its own soul, of its own principle, of its own life, of its own truth, of its own love, and nothing else is ever going on. Can you see? So you can incorporate in your treatment all the levels, though fundamentally at the proposition may be one of the level of Christian science, namely that we have to get free and to heal a negative situation. So this is the idea that I want to see, the nested hierarchy, that we are never separating these levels, and in our treatment try to find our higher authority from a higher level. How many minutes have we left?
About 12.
12? If we take away what we... Yeah?
Yes, I stop.
Ah, okay. 12 minutes. Okay. How did this whole sense of level evolve? And that's perhaps interesting to know, because it's always good to see how a new idea has grown up out of its own seed, and that an idea has always a seed within itself for a further step. Well, we can look at this chart in an ascending and a descending way, and that is how it came to John Dorley. It came to him first in that very slight way where something told him the days of creation are really showing us the fundamentals of being, of Christian science. Namely, that touch where mind said, let there be light in Genesis, where spirit said, let that light be developed, where soul said, let that light become definite within you, where principle said, let that light have spiritual governing power, where in the fifth day that light said, that light is exalting everything, that it is that light which brings you higher and higher and higher, until truth said, and that light will bring forth the full effulgence of that light, the image and likeness of God in the sixth day, and finally gets you at peace in the seventh day, that that light sees only light and rests in its vision. In this way, it came to John Dorley, which would show that the second record of creation is wrong, that it is supplanting the second record of creation, and would therefore be brought to the point where Cain was cast out and was sent into the land of naught, of nothingness, of elusiveness, of randomness, of darkness. So in this way, the first light came as the word of God, as the word order. Then, as the word order became stronger and stronger in his thought, he began to see that this word order must have within itself a Christ idea. And so the Christ order came nearer and nearer to his heart. The Christ order, which we have on page 115 in the textbook, which would explain why that light could discard darkness. It would explain the spiritual mechanics that is at work so that truth is casting out error. And so he began to see the inner nature of the Christ order, that Christ order which starts and says that word order is the principle of being, and that principle of being is constantly at work as life, as truth, and as love. It's constantly at work to express itself, to give new form to an erroneous situation in truth, and to take care in love of every situation so that no situation is left out. And we'll do that by overturning and overturning, and soul is reforming and reforming the human situation, doing what in spirit? By separating everything that does not belong to the true idea and cleanse the situation through spirit, so that finally, after the overturning and the overturning, it comes whose right it is in mind, the right idea appears. So he saw the spiritual mechanics that was at work when truth is overcoming error through the Christ order. But he could also see that when truth is overcoming error through the Christ order, that something is being established of a new nature, that in the place of an erroneous universe, an ideational universe would be established. How does that universe look like? And his sense was brought to the order of Christianity, because Christianity is the outcome of the Christ idea. Therefore, Christianity does show us the bigness of the universe of an idea, or the bigness of every idea. And so, through the Christianity order, which we have in the glossary of principle, mind, soul, spirit, life, truth, and love, he could see that if the Christ is doing the overturning and brings forth a new idea, that idea has the magnitude of the divine principle, that it is not a little idea, but is always an idea of the divine principle. And so Christianity order starts with principle and says, every idea has the one principle, has behind itself the authority of principle. And therefore every idea is of that nature of principle, and you come to mind, to the allness of the universe as a universe of ideas in mind. A universe of ideas in mind of the nature of soul, which says that whole universe has an identical nature as its principle. That universe of ideas has the identical nature as its principle. Therefore, the power of an idea is the power of the infinite. The substance of an idea is the substance of the infinite. The changelessness of the idea is the changelessness of the infinite. The spiritual power of demonstration of an idea is the demonstrating power of the infinite. Therefore, the providing and sustaining power of life is the sustaining power of the infinite life. Therefore, the consciousness of that idea, the affirmative consciousness, the positive consciousness of that idea is the power of infinite truth. And therefore the serving and the all-embracing and blessing idea of love is the blessing of the infinite because it's an idea of love. And so in that way he was building up the universe of ideas through the on the level of Christian Science. Finally seeing, well, is then this necessary that there is such a process going on, first of establishing the true idea of what is God, the Word, seeing then afterwards how the Word translates itself to the point of idea in the Christ, and then afterwards seeing the bigness of the idea in Christianity. Is that a sequence or is that an isness? And this brought him to the science order that you have on the chart, to the science order that is symbolized through the candlestick, where he could see that actually such a process of Word, Christ, Christianity is not going on as a time process. That actually this is only how it appears to the human understanding, but that actually all these things are a fact in being and therefore exist as a beingness and not as a process. And so he began to see that if we take the definition of God in the word order and look at that word order as a structure from the middle of the word order, then as you have it here in the candlestick, then one can see that sevenfold order becomes a fourfold structure. This is a great turning point, but all this I have presented in my book on the seventh synonymous term for God. It's all there. So here I just can always summarize it, knowing that you study that book from page to page, from beginning to end, about a dozen times each year. So that we can see that there something changed. What changed there? It changed from process to being. So that finally we can see all what we have to deal with is actually only soul and life. You have there first, namely that in being there are very definite, unchanging identities, soul, of being, life. That's all that there is ever happening. So that the days of creation are not days of creation, but numerals of infinity, namely facts of being, unchangeable facts of being, soul and life, which are constantly operating with each other, are constantly operating in the calculus of that idea, in a kaleidoscopic calculus, so that every time as we change the relationship, something new is reflected, spirit, and that new reflection brings forth a new pattern, a new form, truth, so that these ideas are constantly calculating themselves and are able to bring forth infinite reflection, spirit, of ever new forms of truth, which are not at which is not the calculus that calculates at random, but with a purpose, namely with the purpose of Christianity, mind and love, which says it operates so that the specific idea, mind, is brought out in its wholeness, in its plan, love. That every idea that is being calculated by spirit and truth has a specific value in the whole plan. Specific value, mind, in the whole plan of love. And that is, now we come to principle as the fourth one, and that is what is ever going on. At that moment, John Dolly could see that therefore he could go out from that principle and see, then actually we do not have constantly to see the relationship of truth to error and how truth dissolves error. Then actually we could go on the level of absolute Christian Science and see how that divine principle, which is actually demonstrating itself as life, truth, and love, is constantly bringing forth new ideas and is operating in the realm of absolute values and not in the realm of absolute values overcoming negative values. So that suddenly the thought was rising to absolute Christian Science and said, well, then I can really calculate infinitely from the point of view of principle, which is life, truth, and love, all the real values of being. Why should I constantly calculate the real values of being? And his answer was, actually, that's not necessary if there is only one being. So I only have to go one step higher to divine science, to oneness. There is no calculus necessary. In the oneness, everything is already there, is already reflecting each other. There is the infinite universe that is constantly related, wherein every idea is constantly related to every other idea and related to its principle, and therefore principle including the idea from everlasting to everlasting. And that brought him to the level of science itself, which said, yes, what are you bothering about all these specific ideas? God is God. I am that I am. So raise your consciousness, lift up your consciousness to the level of science itself, and see that actually if you entertain in your consciousness only the seven synonymous term, then you can see that the seven synonymous term only know themselves. That's God. The seven synonymous term are God. So that at that point we come to that high altitude of consciousness where we see that principle is constantly conscious of itself as the divine mind. And that's all. That principle is consciously conscious of itself as the one and only spirit. And that's all. The principle is consciously conscious of itself as soul, as unchangeable. And that's all. That principle is constantly consciousness of itself as life. So life, principle knows itself as always being life, as always being being. And that's all. There is nothing else beside it. And that principle always knows itself and is conscious of itself as truth and knows itself to be the only truth and the only truth and but the truth and only the truth, and there is nothing else beside it. And that principle knows itself only as love, as the eternal fulfillment of its own principle. So that principle feels I am constantly fulfilled within myself, so what do I need more? Period. That's being. That's how it happens.